Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing? This is Straight Talk Radio. This is Louis Blair Nash. I am here with my co-host, Ted Santos. Say hello to everybody, Ted.
Hello, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk. This is the show made for men by men, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the show. I hope everyone had a very, very happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, man?
Mine was pretty relaxed. I hung out with some friends. So, how about yours?
Not bad. It was relaxing as well. Non-traditional food. Typically we're doing the turkey dressing, cranberry sauce, whatever. Didn't do that, so went a little different this year. So, but everything was good. You know, all was well.
Yeah. So did I. I had Korean food. So.
Okay, Korean food. How was that?
That was good. It was good. They took good care of me, so I enjoyed it.
All right. Cool. Well. We had a very, very lively few guests last week and everything, and I'm sure this one, would be just as spirited. Last week, what was our topic last week? Because we got really out there. We went out way out deep in on that one.
I think we're talking about being a player, the benefits of being a player, what we saw was most guys didn't want that. That's not what most guys. That's not the path that they were looking to take. So,
right.
Maybe counterintuitive to some people, because it seems to be so popular. But it seemed that most guys really did want to have a relationship and build something. So,
absolutely.
Interesting twist to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was very interesting for a number of reasons. One, because I think there's always been kind of this concept that a lot of people go by, that men just want to have a whole bunch of women, and there are men out there. I'm not going to sit here and act like we're trying to tell people anything different. But there is also a growing legion of guys who are looking to, basically have just one woman. Now, how that looks exactly, if he wants to be married or what have you, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other, concept for a whole other show. But by and large, a lot of men out here are looking to actually have just one woman, and really just that's their focus, that's their goal. So, but yeah, it got a little, little outside the lines last week, but, still a great show. So our topic today, and I have a really, I'm thinking this is going to be another one as well, is what are the red flags men should be aware of in dating? So this was actually.
Can you repeat that? You broke up. You broke up a little bit. Can you repeat that?
I sure can. I can get a T-shirt and repeat it, man. What are the red flags men should be aware of when dating? And I think, you were the one that kind of came up with this concept and everything, with the whole idea of, this show. So when I first heard it, I thought it was phenomenal. It's. The thing about it, anybody who's followed me for more than a year will remember I say this one phrase all the time: dating is not a game. It's not a game, but it is a strategy. The reason I say that is because a game implies where there's a winner, but it also means that there's someone who actually suffers in defeat, meaning that there's a loser. And obviously in a relationship, that's not the end result you want for the two of you. So when you brought this to my attention and everything, I just thought it was a phenomenal conference. So I know you have some thoughts on everything. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, I can't take credit for it because this is one of the topics that one of the younger gentlemen said he'd like to hear. He said maybe some of you more experienced guys could school me on some of the red flags that are out there. So I kind of took that and said, well, how can we do this? And I think there may be some men and women who will be upset with us, and especially when we talk about some of the red flags that are not you say obvious. They're not so what you would call common sense red flags. Except
right.
if you really listen to what we're going to say and lay out, really about, so in a way, in a spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to give people a gift. For the men, regardless of your age, we're going to give you some perspectives on how to look. And this isn't exactly like how to find the right mate, but these are things that you can look for to ensure you don't go down the wrong path. And, you know, as men, and I think what I wrote in one of these is that, you know, we finance relationships. So the last thing you want to do is have, you know, your heart melting for a woman only to find out that all these red flags you ignored turned out to be not a situation not in your best interest, I'll say. And for the
Absolutely.
Women, I think one of the challenges is that guys, we are told and trained not to hurt women, even though it happens. But we tend to not want to say things to women because we don't want to hurt their feelings. So
uh-huh.
what ends up happening is a guy walks away from a woman because he's not being fulfilled in the relationship. And the woman just thinks that, well, he's just a dog and he doesn't want sex, because she was taught men only want one thing. And he got into the relationship and left, but he saw red flags that maybe took him longer to distinguish than he would like to have. And because the guy didn't really lay out exactly why he walked, the woman just thinks everything she does is, and she just goes from guy to guy, not knowing that she is actually presenting red flags and has no idea that men see it that way. So this is a gift to the ladies also, because sometimes when a guy, I know Mike, and for me, you know, I'll say to a woman, hey, what you're doing, I don't like. I prefer this instead. This is what I want in a relationship. And she doesn't hear it. You mind if I share a quick story, Blair?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure. So I dated a woman who I knew, you could say, her entire life, because her family took a picture of me when I'm 3 years older than her, and she was either a few days old or a few weeks old. There's a picture of me holding her. So she lived on my street. Her mother, her parents wanted us to marry, and when we were I hit my mid-20s, we dated. And you know, most people thought this was sort of a fairy tale situation, because she knew all my relatives, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and vice versa. And she came from a very accomplished family. And so we're in a relationship, and one of the things she kept saying is, you can't do those things with me. You can't hold my hand that way. You can't kiss me that way because you did this with another woman. And she just had this long list of things you can't do. I said, wow, you're really putting me in a cage. And that doesn't give me the freedom to be myself. And I said that over and over, in person, over the phone, you know, and it was those, like, you know, sit on the bed, heart to heart, you know, let me really tell you the kind of guy I am, and you've known me all my life. And she refused to listen. And I abruptly ended the relationship in a rather cold way. She said, we can work it out. I said, no, we can't. And it was just amazing the amount. It wasn't like I said this one or two times, because, you know, to me there seemed to be a lot at stake. Our families were very close. And I didn't want to just end it, except I couldn't see me going down a path with a woman who wasn't even listening to me. And what made it more amazing is that I didn't see her for 9 years. And we got together, we talked, and she said, hey, you know, tell me, what happened? Why did you end it? And I told her the same thing I had said 9 years ago. And she just said, no, there's no way. I don't believe that. And I'm just thinking, wow, like, she really just didn't listen. So I'm saying that to say, a lot of times as guys, we don't say it. So then when you're the only guy being honest, she can't comprehend that. So I'm asking ladies to listen. These are some of the red flags that we see, and they do impact how we make a decision and how serious we take a woman. And some
right,
of these
right.
things we say, like, you may not like it, except it's better that you know that in advance, and not so you can fake it. It's so that you really can make sure the guy you're with is getting as much out of the relationship that you want to get out of it.
Right. Absolutely. Good stuff. Good story. Thanks for sharing that, bro.
Thank you.
Let me do this. Let me try to. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're gonna basically, because our time, as we see, kind of goes very quickly. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over. And what I did was I got with a few of the guys and, you know, kind of said, what are some of the things that you see as kind of, you know, markers, you know, indicators that show, like, I don't know, this may not be the one, bro. So they hit me off with probably about 40 of them. And I was just like, oh, my God, I can't
wow.
even go through 40
wow.
of the show.
Wow.
So what I did was I got them down. I wrangled them down to about 15 to 16 ones that I thought were very key. So we're going to go over those and everything. We're going to take a few moments and just, you know, kind of hit each of those and everything. So before we do that, let's we have a few callers on the line. So let me see if I can get one of my callers in. Hold the line just a moment.
I'd love to hear what the callers have to say about this topic. And if it's a guy, what are the red flags? And, you know, Blair, just a quick before you take the caller. This show
uh-huh.
is a great show for women who are – single mothers, and you have a son who's a young man, he should absolutely hear it, because I was telling someone, I can remember my mother saying, hey, I prefer you not date that woman's daughters. You know, my mother must have seen red flags, and so did my aunt. And so for the ladies who have sons who are young men, single mothers, you'd want your sons to hear this. You'd also want your daughters to hear it so that they can better understand how to enter a relationship. I think most people do want to have a relationship. So why not be more aware of the things that work and don't work?
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a couple calls. What are the red flags men should be aware of when dating? Our first caller, we're going to try to hear their comment and thought, is calling from area code 225. Area code 225, you are on the air live.
All right, how you doing, Blair? This is Thomas calling in.
Hey, Thomas.
How are you, sir?
Doing good, brother. I just caught some of what you was talking about the red flags when dating women. And one of the red flags, I think, is you should listen to what they're saying. If they talk a lot and repeat a lot of things about their accomplishments, their degrees, their if they have children, how their children come first, and nobody's going to tell their kids what to do. If they repeat certain things all the time, you should take heed to that. Another red flag is their parents. If the mother is very close to the daughter and she tells her mom everything, and the mother tells her don't let another man touch your child, even when the child is wrong, those are red flags. I've had to actually stop talking to women before because her mother was so much into her business that it was going to be a problem. So you got those three red flags I always run across.
Interesting. I could definitely see both of those, especially the one you were saying about the mother kind of interceding. I've been fortunate to not have to date anyone like that, but I have talked to men who have dated women, and the women were, you know, well, whatever, you know, it's kind of like everything my family says is right. My family says this about you. My family says that about you. That's something you should run for the hills. I mean, for the hills if you see that. So that is very, very true. So, Ted, did you have any thoughts or anything you want to add to that?
That's a conversation I always have with a woman up front, and this is a relationship between you and I. If your friends and family are making decisions, you need to let me know who I am, who they are, because that means I'm in a relationship with them and I don't even know it. They're making decisions for us that, you know, they may not either have the whole story or hell, they may not have be good at relationships and giving you bad advice. I've seen that happen.
Right. No question.
Right.
No question.
Well, I will say this one quick thing is that if you really like the woman, you got to make a decision. You're either going to have to move her across town or you got to move out of state. If you're not willing to do those two things, let her go.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I agree with you. You know, and the funny thing about it is it's kind of a double-edged sword. The thing that's interesting about dating is you kind of have to date a number of different people to know what you like. What I mean by that, I don't mean that you have to date a whole bunch of people. But, for example, the pedigree of woman I entertain now is vastly different than it was just 10 years ago. So the things that I'm looking for that are important to what a woman is and the things that I look for as far as someone I look for, something I look for as a life partner, those aren't the same things that I was looking for back in 2010. So how do you kind of, I mean, that? But then, like you said, if you spend too long dating someone, it'll drain you. You know, it drains you financially. It diverts valuable time away from you, you know, work, you know, possibly working on another connection with somebody else. So it's, like I said, it's kind of one of them funny things. So that's a very good point. Very good point. Thomas, if you can, hold the line, just stay on the line or whatever. We're going to come back to you and just kind of maybe get some thoughts from you down the road. But, Tom,
okay.
Where are you calling from, by the way? I'm sorry.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Very cool.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Down south. All right, cool. We'll hold the line for just a minute, and we'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Okay, we're going to try and take one more other call. This is area code 404. 404, you are live and on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Carell?
This is Carell.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How was your Thanksgiving, Carell?
It was really good. We went over a couple of people's houses, passed out a couple of turkeys, and served a little food, and that was that.
Very cool.
Oh, man. So you just the local Nino Brown over there passing out turkeys. And
yeah,
I ain't mad at you.
I appreciate y'all letting me chime in every week.
Oh, no problem. We'd love to hear from you.
Tell us your thoughts on this topic. Yeah, on the topic. What are your thoughts?
Two things. If the young lady did not grow up with a solid father in her household,
interesting.
That's a red flag to me. And number two, have a bunch of kids out of wedlock. That's a red flag to me. So those are two things that was an absolute no-go when I dealt with certain women. And I kept it moving.
Okay.
I feel you. I definitely feel you. Carell, if you can hold the line for just a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into it. I mentioned to you I have about 15 different things that I kind of want to hit on, and I want to make sure that we cover all of this because all of them are very good points and everything. So, and these are not in any sort of sequential order. These are just literally, you know, points that I pulled out that I thought was just very critical. So, like Ted said, if you have a young guy that you want to just have him kind of get some very good quality ideas, get him close to the radio because we're about to hit it. So the very first thing that is important, like I said, these are in no certain order or anything. Number one, she is a self-proclaimed drama queen, a.k.a. diva. And what I mean by that is, you know, the ladies who are, you know, you should definitely be careful of women who not only proclaim themselves to be drama queens, but also relish in that role. How many times have you been on social media and you've been, you know, saying that you've been watching someone post something and there's a woman and she just is like, I'm a drama queen, I'm a diva, I, you know, don't bring the smoke my way. And it's like, woman, who are you? That's not becoming of someone that is looking to build anything with another individual. You don't want sort of anything like that. You know, you don't want anyone to have any sort of emotional swings that go from one extreme to another where, you know, life is like either, you know, very boring or it's just 100 miles an hour. You have to find kind of somewhere in that middle range where you can just, you know, have your life. So you know, the idea of being impulsive and just having a lot of drama surrounding it around you, it can't make for a good relationship. So what are your thoughts on that?
Hey, Blair, you know, whenever I meet someone, man or woman, and they say they get bored easily, I always ask a couple of questions. And the first one is, when you get bored, are you there? Do you understand what I'm asking the person, Blair?
I do not.
Okay. So someone says they get bored. Let's say the person's name is Bob, and Bob says, hey, I get bored easily. Bob, when you get bored, are you always there? I mean, who's there when you get bored? Are there other people?
Oh, gotcha.
And normally they'll say, well, yes, I'm always there. Well, Bob, maybe it's you who's boring.
Okay.
So if I meet a woman who says she gets bored easily and she needs drama, you have to excite me. Maybe she just has a really boring life and hasn't done much. She hasn't read much. She hasn't traveled much. She hasn't experienced much. Maybe she hasn't even left her block. And her life is her conversation may be very limited. Her desire to experience things that are outside of her comfort zone may be limited, and she may be boring.
Mm-hmm.
And when people can come to terms that it's not that people around you bore you, it's just that you're boring. And you bring drama because you think that's a way to bring excitement and liveliness, except, as you
Absolutely.
Were saying, difficult to build something. It's hard to build something with someone who brings drama. So before a person says how boring others are, they need to check themselves. Because I'll tell you, me, Ted Santos, I never get bored with myself. You can stick me in a room alone. Man, I promise I will never get bored with myself.
Right. Yeah. And, what I'll just say, this actually leads me into the second point that I have, which is you don't get along with any of her friends. There's an old saying that I'm sure all of us know, which is birds of a feather flock together. Now, a lot of us might say, well, you know, I'm not really like my friends. My friends are different than me. Well, the bottom line is that most of us usually have kind of a synergy with our friends. You know, if they like bike riding, we like bike riding. You know, if they like going to concerts, we like going to concerts.
Yeah,
they like to party, we like to party.
Hey, who's that, Terrell?
I'm sorry, y'all.
Was that Terrell?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm put on mute.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Okay. That's no problem. I was going to say, you know, typically we usually like our friends because we have a lot of qualities that are very similar to one another. Very seldom are you going to find people that you just hang around consistently where they're just so vastly different. So, you know, when you find someone and you don't get along with her friends, and, you know, you don't need to be besties with her crew. That's not what we're saying. But, you know, if you can't even spend basic time with it, and, you know, then on top of that, she's talking about, you know, she's gone back and told her friends, like, yeah, he's this and he ain't doing this for me or whatever. Now the friends are looking at you side-eye like, yeah, this Negro here. That's a very, very bad sign. You know, birds of a feather flock together. There's wisdom in that old adage.
Absolutely. And just a quick flip side, sometimes her friends will sabotage the relationship and then come sneak through the back door to hook up with you. And I can tell
you,
I've seen that one.
That's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. I've had that happen as well. You know, I won't go into any details, but yes, that does happen where you break up with an individual, and then all of a sudden, another person is made themselves available. So yeah, that does happen. So number three, when you ask her, this is something. Oh man, this is. This is a Sunday, so I know the heavens are going to open up on this one. When you ask her why her relationships ended, she says all her exes were jerks. Now, there is a possibility that every man she's ever dated was definitely a jerk. There is a possibility. But if that's the case, what does that say about your judgment, ladies? And what is it about your personality that draws you to losers? that also might mean that you're possibly a jerk too. So when you talk to, and I tell guys all the time, when you talk to women, don't let them just kind of, you know, like, oh, it was all a trick. All of none of them was honest. None of them was, it's like, wait a minute. I could see if one, maybe two guys are like that.
Right.
But if you're dating four to five guys over a 10, 15-year period of time, and all of those guys just treated you and just dogged you and played you and finessed you, there's something that you actually have to go back in and start to look at how you qualify men. And a lot of times with women, I don't think they really understand that part of qualifying men is asking questions, like we're talking about right now, asking the right questions. So if you find a woman who is, you know, every guy that I've ever dealt with, he's just been a dog, and, you know, it just ain't been right, everything, that's a problem. Again, I always say, run for the hills. Run for the hills. So we're going to pause right there.
I want to say quickly, dating, if people don't realize that if you're looking to be serious with someone, dating is no different than interviewing. And if you think you're not interviewing, you're kidding yourself. So everything you do, the person is watching, both man and woman. And when you talk about the woman who says all the guys were jerks, vetting, yes, is important. The other aspect is, what are you presenting? So, and I'll give you an example of something that a lot of women maybe overlook and not see the importance, but integrity is so important. It's difficult to build anything with someone who doesn't have integrity. So when you meet a woman, you're having good conversations on the phone, and she never returns a call, or she says she'll call you and she doesn't call you back. You may say that's a little deal, but really good guys start to wonder, you know, can I depend on this woman's word? And you step away, because this person is showing you that they can't be relied upon. They don't do what they say they're going to do. And a phone call may seem simple, except it really says something about who you are. Now, who's going to stick around for that? Usually the guys who don't have integrity also. And now she's in a situation, and she's only attracting guys who are just like her. So it goes back to what you're saying. Well, if all the guys you dated were jerks, what is it that you were presenting that jerks are the only ones who were interested?
Right. Yeah, anybody that knows me and has followed me for a while will tell you I'm very much a person who kind of holds women's feet to the fire, because when you date one bum, you get a pass. When you date a second bum, I'm like, okay. But when you get to your third bum, we got to now go back and we got to go back to the very beginning. If, you know, you hear me make a lot of sports references, I always say it's kind of like playing basketball. If you're doing well, if you're, you know, you're scoring 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, I don't say anything to you. But if you're sitting here and you keep dribbling the ball off your leg and you keep, you know, I ask you to rebound and you don't know how to rebound and you don't know how to box out and you don't know how to play defense, I now have to take you back to the very beginning stages of how to play basketball. And so this is a lot of times, you know, what I end up doing a lot of times when I talk to women. I say, well, wait a minute, you know, you're the common denominator. You've had four straight dudes who have played you. You are the common denominator. So, you know, and for the guys, I say, you know, you can't say, well, she was a trip. No, Negro, you a trip. No, you don't know how to pick women. So it's so imperative, man. It really is. It really is. So let's try to
Did you want to bring Thomas and Carell back in, or did you want to bring in another caller?
What did you
want to do?
Well, I was going to try to take another call real quick. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. All right. Hold the line for just a moment. We have area code 678, which I believe is Atlanta. 678, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead. 678, going once.
I just want to listen. Let him listen.
All right, going once, going twice. All right. Okay, so you said to bring Thomas and Carell back on the line. So Thomas and Carell, I think Thomas stepped away for just a moment.
I'm still here.
Just a moment. Okay, you still there? Okay,
still there.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Awesome. Are you there as well, Correll?
I'm here.
Okay, cool, cool. Okay, so what are your thoughts so far on the three that we've gotten through?
Oh, I absolutely
agree with your three. The first one, drama queen. I want peace in the house. I don't want no outside drama. I don't want no internal drama. And I damn sure don't want drama between us. Number two, you know, you talked about I'm not friends with her friends. Well, I ain't screwing your friends, and I'm not trying to make a future with your friends. I don't have to necessarily be friends with your friends, but I don't need any of your friends trying to be any discourse and disconnect inside of my relationship. And the last one, let me see how I got that written down. What was the third one? You said the
third one was
jerks.
When you asked her about her relationship, she was like, you know, all of them was bombs. Yeah.
You said all men are jerks. Hey, listen, you're the only common denominator. At some point, you got to start looking at the person that is the you know, quintessential variable and all those men. And all those men don't know each other. How those men get to be jerks? We need to take a little bit of self-responsibility, a little bit of accountability.
Right. Right.
I agree.
I agree with you. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so let's get to number four. Number four, she is a trip most of the time. And when a guy told me this, I was like, well, you know, be a little bit more specific and everything. And he broke it down for me. He's like, you ever notice, like, you know, you meet a lot of these really attractive women, and you say to yourself, you mean to tell me that as fine as you are, there's no guys out here of your quality that want to make you his woman? You're going to tell me that. And so that's what they said. That's what he meant. She's a trip most of the time. If you find that she's always just everything just irritates her and everything bothers her, and oh, you said this and that was just oh, I was just offended by that. If she's always like just being extra all the time, cut her loose. There's an old saying, and Correll, you're a married man, so I'm sure you're aware of this. Whatever you have with that individual right now, it becomes exponential after you get married. So the idea that all of a sudden, you know, well, she, you know, she don't like to cook and everything, but she said, well, once we get married, she's going to blue. Or, you know, she said, you know, no. Things get worse after you get married. And I don't mean that people just fall off the grid, but whatever you dislike about that individual, it becomes worse. Why? Part of the reason, and Correll, I'd like you to add to this, part of the reason is because there's really no consequence nor incentive for that person to do the right thing. When you're dating somebody, you know, you're like, you know what, later for all this. No way at all. But when you're married, yes, anybody can leave. I don't want to use that whole thing, but it's a lot harder to leave, much, much harder to leave. And there's a lot more of a consequence financially, especially to the man, when you decide you want to leave and don't want to put up. But that's why you have so many men all over this country, all over the world really, but all over this country who are sitting there suffering in these relationships and marriages because they're unhappy with women and know that they can't leave. So, Correll, let me get your thoughts and feedback on that.
Oh, absolutely. I read a book a long time ago in college called A Vision for Black Men, Naheem Akbar, and he talked about how boys play house and men make house, you know, so it's easy to disengage when things are not going the way you want it to go when you're in a relationship. When you're married, man, there's consequences. You know, you got financial consequences, you got family consequences, you got people who thought, I knew it wasn't going to work anyway, you know. So if I was to ignore those red flags, then those things, they're not going to get better. Once that person knows, hey, this joker's in it for the long haul, you know. So either I can avoid those red flags or tell the person about those red flags and then see if they're going to fix it, not only in what they say but how they do. And sometimes you got to come to the realization that's just subconscious. For example, I said that I stopped dealing with women who didn't grow up with a solid father in the house, because there's some things a man's going to see, say, and do. Being a son of a man who was raised by a man and a man who was raised by a man four generations back,
that when I look at a woman and I say certain things, you know, I don't want her to be thinking, oh, he's controlling, manipulative, and all this stuff like a lot of these single women
right.
tell they boot up friends. Well, if a woman come from a household with a man leave, they will know, hey, man, my dad didn't put up with that. My dad is not trying to come from a position of trying to make me do this. Maybe he's really looking out for the well-being, not only for myself, but for the unit as us being a couple.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that a lot of men.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think a lot of men don't properly vet women. You know, we ask questions, but we don't ask the right questions. You know, we don't ask them about their family background, their relationship with their mother, their father. When we meet their friends, they're going to have their one friend that's going to keep it real with you. They may not talk about their friend in front of you, but if you can get that one good friend who knows them well and ask him or her, what's the real deal with so-and-so, they're going to tell you why this person's been single, why this person has been a jerk, why this person dates certain people. They'll tell you why, and you got to make a decision. Okay, their friend kept it real with me. Am I going to stay with this person or leave them alone? But I think a lot of men see a fat ass, big tits, and they don't ask the right questions. Now, they're going to buy a car, they're going to ask 50 questions about the car. The interior, the tires, the engine. When it comes to a woman, she got booty, check. She got ass, check. She ain't too mouthy, check. But their mental, we don't check their mental, and that's why a lot of guys get tripped up sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Tay, weigh in on that for me, brother.
No, you guys are doing great. On that one, you're doing great. I'm with you 100%.
All right, cool. All right, we're going to try and take one more one quick call, and then we're going to get back and go to number five. So hold the line for just a moment. Area code 205. 205, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
I'm just listening.
Okay, cool. All right, no problem. All right, cool. So let's keep it moving because the time is going to escape us. Number five, she treats waiters like, or what should I say, wait staff like, and I'm not going to say the word that was said here, but BS essentially. I think this is very true, especially I think it's very known within our culture. You see a lot of our women, you know, when they go out to eat and you see them, how they treat a lot of the I call it the health. They just treat them in a dogged way, you know. Is somebody all right over there? Somebody break dancing over there? What's going on? Everything cool? Okay, cool. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I think the way that you treat, as they say, the way that you treat people who cannot do anything for you is a very good telltale that's a very good tell sign of, are you someone who is I call it coachable, someone who actually can get together with a guy. Because if you can't do something and can't be nice and kind to a person who can't do anything for you, then, you know, who are you at your core? So I think that's very important. Number six.
Well,
this
I'll say one thing about that. If you're interested in sitting on a board of directors, that's one of the things they look for. And this has nothing to do with race or gender. They will invite you out to a dinner. That's part of the way to interview you, to find out about your accomplishments and how you can contribute to the board. And when they see how you engage the wait staff, if it's inappropriate and crude, they do not want you on their board.
I can feel that. I can believe it. I can believe it. Absolutely. Cool. Okay. No other thoughts or comments. Let me skip to number six. This is going to go back to the original point that we had about her kind of acting like a diva, drama queen. Number six, she expects to be treated like a princess. And I'll just read this. I'll just read the comment that came along with it. So, when one person comes into a relationship with a sense of entitlement and expectation that his or her needs should always come before the other person's, resentment, contempt, and anger are usually the results. Be on the lookout for subtle and overt clues that she has a princess mentality. One hint about it is she might even have the word princess stitched somewhere on her body, tattooed them on her body. So I think it goes back to what I was saying before, where, you know, a lot of times, you know, Carell, almost from our very first show, I said that a lot of our women have what is called a Disney complex, meaning that they believe that everything about life and about the world should pretty much revolve around them, that everybody has to put up with their mood swings, their outbursts, their kind of sassy mouth, and everything else. But, you know, the limit, what they'll deal with from the guy is very, you know, that window is very small. But the window with her is like, you just have to understand I'm a woman. That's just how we are. No, that is not right. Not right, ladies. What are your thoughts on that, fellas?
Man, look, I'm going to go and jump on this one, bro. Man, look, when you get treated how you want me to treat you, you know, if you come in wanting to be a princess, but you're talking to me disrespectful, you talk to other people disrespectful, you got this attitude all the time, I'm not going to treat you like a princess. But if you're accommodating, you're reciprocating, you know, you're doing things like that, I do that treatment, but I'm not going to treat you like a princess from day one, because you're not gonna treat me like a king from day one. I know women all the time saying that, you know, he has to earn this. He has to earn this. Well, you got to earn that princess treatment. I mean, I'm just using that word.
Right. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So you're saying, what I hear you saying is, you, if a woman wants to be treated like a princess, except she's never been trained to be one, it's difficult to treat her like more than what she is. Like you actually show people how to treat you by the way you present yourself.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Number 7, she argues all the time. This kind of goes back in and kind of leads back into, and I'm just trying to find it, I believe it was number 4, let's just say it was number 4. Number 4, where it's like, you know, there's always something that has to be going on. I remember there was a young lady I dated, and we only dated for a brief period of time. And, you know, I'm anyone that's dated me will tell you, I like to talk about things, I like to talk about stuff, but I'm not really an arguer. I'm not that person. So I remember the young lady I was dating, and she was just, you know, I mean, I was like, why is she always trying to start stuff? I'm like, I don't get this. And in one of our conversations, she basically admitted, she was like, I just feel like I like that energy about just, you know, being in a, you know, kind of just that whole energy about arguing and everything. And then we, you know, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew right then, I was like, you might as well just unplug my cord, because I knew this was not going to be that person. One of the things
she wanted makeup sex, let's fight and have makeup sex, that kind of thing.
It wasn't even about the makeup sex. She just wanted that whole energy of you know, just being, just that whole energy around her. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. So, yeah, nobody wants to argue all the time. There's something I tell women all the time. When I ask women, what are the top 3 things that men want? Most women don't get it right, because they automatically default to sex and food. And that's not right.
Right.
It ain't even close to being correct.
Crazy.
I have not met a man yet. The number one thing, ladies, that men want, please. I got to come home.
Say that.
The number one thing that's most important to men is peace. I don't want to come home to arguing. If there's legit reason for us to have a discussion about something, we can discuss that. I'm not saying that. But I don't want to come home every day or every other day and you know, have you with your little face twisted and everything. You've got to be able to harness that, control it, and say, you know what, it ain't really that big of a deal. If you can't do that, you're going to be lonely a long time, because guys ain't going to deal with that. He's either going to not deal with you, or he's going to come home and eventually he's going to start making pit stops on the way home. And you know what that means.
Right.
You're not a particular woman who likes to argue all the time. If you want to argue all the time, there's a problem. I'm going to say this real quick. I'm going to default to you, Ted. There's something I wrote here. It says, researchers have found that for a relationship to be happy, the ratio of positive to negative interactions needs to be 5-1. That means for every time that we have a discussion, we need to have five positive discussions, and one discussion can be somewhat not positive, but we might need to discuss something. But we can't be having half arguing all the time or half arguing most of the time. That's not to work. The reason why I think a lot of guys date women the way they do is because the first couple years of the honeymoon period. You know, a lot of times with women, what they'll do is they'll hold off and they're like, "Well, I'm not gonna do anything for the first year, first 2 years. I'm gonna let you know, think everything is cool." And then the year three, or maybe once they're married, all of a sudden you're like, "Who the hell is this woman?" And so it's very important for men to, as you said, I think it was Carell, or was it Carell or Thomas? It's very important to vet women and find out where is their mindset, where are they coming from. What are their thoughts? Are they someone who is triggered easily? If there's a person who is triggered easily, that's not the woman for you. You don't want someone who's, you know, at any little moment can be explosive. So that's all I was going to say. We'll go there. You have a thought, Ted?
Sure. So last week I asked one of the women callers if she had an education as a CPA, and she said no, and she said she wouldn't be a good CPA. From the way I'm hearing what you're saying, it's so important to really kind of develop relationship skills, and no one's born knowing how to have a relationship, except if you take what Carell said, if a woman comes out of a single-parent household, she has no idea how a man and woman work together. Ultimately, you want a relationship with someone who knows how to make things work. So if you're arguing, if you're having arguments five times and one good conversation one time, that's an upside-down scenario from what you just said. So relationship skills are much more important than people think. And if you spent your 20s running around just being with a lot of different people, you may have squandered the time to develop those skills, and now you're going to try and play catch up, and the clock is going to run out on you.
Right.
Yeah. I think that when women like to argue a lot, that's a masculine trait in a woman. I actually have a close friend that she's like that. She's very, when I'm with her one-on-one, she's very feminine when she wants to be, but she likes to debate and argue a lot. And a lot of times it's about topics that's not even a big deal. It could be a fact about who's the president at this company. And she'll want to have a hard down debate about it. I'm like, look, it's not that big of a deal. And when she comments on Facebook, she will make a post and would dare you to challenge her. And if you sound like you're dumb, she'll cut you down. And I tell her, I'm like, look, no man want to deal with a woman like you. But she says, I'm an alpha woman. Well, I'm like, well, alpha men are not going to want to deal with you. That's not going to work. They don't want to argue with a woman like they argue with a man. But she thinks that's an endearing trait, but it repels a lot of men. And it shows, because all the men that she's dated that I know of, they've all been men that really are beneath her. But I guess they're the only guys that will really take the crap that she gives out. So I look at that as a masculine trait that I'm not going to deal with. I might try to tell her about herself, but I'm not going to try to date her and change it at the same time.
Interest,
right?
So yeah, and Thomas, in saying that, it's there may be some red flags that if the woman is really worth the effort, you can go in and deal with that, work with her, but ultimately. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to, she's got to be able to at some point transform that mindset and get the importance of making things work, because then you're just a teammate that's working against you. And, you know, this is football season. If you have an offensive lineman and your quarterback and your lineman is not blocking and he's actually helping tackle you, your team is going to lose every single week.
I agree.
Right.
I agree,
number
brother.
Eight, fellas. Number eight, she gets angry, manipulates, or guilts you when you want to spend time with your boys. I can honestly say that I've actually had a scenario like that. There was a young lady I was dating, and when I would, you know, mention, you know, I was going to, you know, me and the fellas going to go shoot, you know, anybody that knows me knows I like to shoot pool. I would say, look, me and the fellas going to go shoot pool. And we would be gone maybe 4 hours, right? I mean, anybody that knows me knows I love pool. I don't like where I love pool, right? So we'd be gone for a number of hours. We played probably 20, 25 games during that period of time, right? Because we would just be out. And I just remember her just blowing up. She's like, well, when are you coming home? I'm like, look. First of all, I'm with my boys. And, I mean, you know, if you want to come up here to the pool hall, we'll let that happen. But, you know, it just became a situation where, you know, at any time. And then so what I, and this is, you know, of course, before I was more savvy and understanding kind of how women do what they do. And in understanding it down the road, I had found out that she had actually been cheated on. So in the back of her mind, any time that she doesn't have access or know exactly, you know, and know where the guy is at, all of a sudden it triggers her to think that something's going on and this man must be out here, you know, doing grimy and doing dirty. So, yeah, that was a problem. She gets angry, manipulates, or guilts you when you want to spend time with your boys. Now, of course, there's a balance on that. You can't be out all the time. And I know some guys who are out every weekend with their boys. And that may be, especially if you're in a relationship and or marriage, might be a little bit too much to be out every weekend. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal opinion. But, you know, there has to be a balance. So if you have specific times where you want to hang with the crew and like, hey, we want to go wipe off, look nice, go somewhere and just, you know, sit and, you know, sit drinks and, you know, talk about sports or whatever, that's fine. But if it becomes a situation where you feel bad, hey, wanting to go be with your friends, that is a red flag.
So, I'll say that's one of those red flags that I think can be dealt with. I think people use the word compromise, and I think we need to do a show on the difference between compromising and negotiating, because compromise really just creates an environment of resentment, and you owe me. But I think that one could be negotiated. That's probably one I could deal with. And I agree. I was about to say this. Go ahead.
I was about to say the same thing you're saying, that if she tells me from the beginning of the relationship, or I hear her say that, you know, my last man cheated on me, and then she shows some signs of wanting to know where I'm at, I'll have a talk with her and we'll discuss that, and I'll be, you know, cognizant of, you know, what I'm doing. But I would expect her that if I'm working with her on that, that she would learn to trust me that I'm not going to mess around on her. So if I know that from the get-go, I work with her on that, you know, but if we're together for a while and she still acts like I'm going to walk out on her, then now she's kind of self-sabotaging the relationship, you know what I'm saying? So I can see where she's coming from, but at the same time, she's got to learn how to trust as we go along, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It does.
Absolutely. All right, no other points on that. Go to number nine. Number nine. She never apologizes nor takes responsibility for her bad behavior or emotional outbursts. What do you think on that, fellas?
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me she has emotional outbursts? See, I don't care about you apologizing, because if I'm messed up, I expect you to tell me I'm messed up. I expect you to tell me why I'm messed up. If you're messed up, you best believe I'm going to tell you messed up. And I'm going to tell you why you messed up. And I'm going to take it to step three and tell you what you need to do to fix yourself. Now, you don't have to doggone and apologize. I expect you to fix your behavior. Now, if you don't ever accept responsibility and or take heed to being accountable, then, you know, that ain't going to work, because you have not fully matured into the ways of womanhood. I mean, and, you know, so that's how I look on that. And look, don't start none, won't be none. There is nothing that we can't talk about once we get at 1710 and we go in this house and close the doors. All right? We got 8,000 square feet. We can go over this house and have a conversation about any and everything. We don't need to be out in public showing our ass, as if we can't, as a married couple, you know, keep it together or look like we got it together. That's all I got to say.
Right. Absolutely. Ted, what are your thoughts on that, brother?
Hey, am I still there?
You still are, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Somehow I got disconnected, don't know what happened.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What was that point again? Just tell me again. Just getting cut off and
no, no problem. She never apologizes or takes responsibility for her bad behavior or emotional outburst. Let me kind of give you a quick story about Tim and everything. And this is, you know, this is a personal thing. So, you know, I'm an author, and I'll share a quick thing with you. So when I did my, there was a young lady I dated a number of years ago. When I did my first, when I dropped my first book in 2015, I had a tremendous turnout. I mean, I had probably close to 250 people come out. It was a great thing, right? So I literally, and I mean literally, phoned books from 8 p.m. until literally 11:45 nonstop. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. But by the time 11:45 came, I was exhausted. I was like, I ain't had no water. Whatever. So finally signed the last book, and I'd had a number of people that had actually come in from out of town, so they wanted to, you know, talk to me, you know, had a couple of questions. So the young lady I was dating at the time, I said, you know, give me just 5-6 minutes. I'm gonna, you know, talk with him and then promise, you know, I'm gonna, you know, well, whatever. I was talking to them for all of about 30 seconds, and if any of you remember the movie Color Purple, when Sophia was marching up to see Mister, and she was just marching, and she had her arms and her shoulders were going or whatever, and this girl marched right through the whole area, and I mean, she just marched all the way outside, and everybody was like, "Is everything okay?" I couldn't have been more embarrassed. I was humiliated. So, you know, and the thing is, I went and I was like, "What was that about?" And she was like, I've been trying to talk to you all evening." I'm like, "This ain't even about me. This is about my people, my supporters who came out to see me." So that is an example of, and never apologized, never did. That's an example of where you have, and you let your emotions and your feelings get the most of you because you wanted something to be about you at that very moment. And a lot of men deal with that. I know I've dealt with it on a number of occasions. So go ahead with your point, Ted.
So, like sort of what Carell was saying, you make a mess, clean it up. So if I made the mess, I need to clean it up. If she made the mess, clean it up. Now, what the situation you just described, Blair, and maybe it's a red flag on your list, and it's not always easy to know up front. Some people, since we're talking about men to women, some women are not prepared to be in a relationship with someone who's successful, just not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And so
Absolutely.
Did that woman, did she grow up in a household with both her parents?
You don't want the woman I was dating at the time?
Right, correct.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Nothing but a matriarchal environment. I mean, mom,
right.
Aunt, sisters, everything. No man. I remember going to one of her family reunions, I was like, where are the damn men? I'm like, y'all got like 80 women here and like 10 dudes. I'm like, what is this about? So, yeah, no guys to be spoken of hardly at all.
So she had no idea how to support a man who's successful and would sabotage it. And if she sabotaged it, then would turn around and tell you don't do anything. So that's
right.
A little insanity, you know. But,
yeah, absolutely. Let's try to take one quick call, Ron, real quick, fellas. Hold the line for just a moment. Area code 732, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Who's that?
Hello.
Area 732. Hello.
Tell me the rest of the number.
You've called
you
in.
It?
You're live and on the air.
So all right, what's happening? Hey, it's Van.
How are you?
What's up, buddy? I'm sorry I didn't call you last week. I missed it.
That's all right.
Okay,
you're here today.
What are you up to?
Wait, what's your name? Your name is Van?
Yeah, Robert Ellis.
Oh, Robert. Hey, Robert, how you doing, man?
Hey,
thanks
what's happening, my friend?
All right.
We go back a long way to high school.
We do. Long way.
Robert,
thanks for calling.
Yeah,
Robert, I got an itchy trigger finger. I was about to hang up on you. I'm glad you said something.
Wow, don't hang up on me.
What do you think of this topic,
Robert?
I think it's a great topic. I think it's the best topic to get in to find out what we're doing wrong.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
did you have a question or what?
What are the red flags? What's a red flag that you see as a man in the dating a woman?
You can do everything, but you know they, you can give them all the hints in the world, but you know that you want to settle down, and but they don't respond.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just like I don't know. I've been I roughed it for a while to get myself better, get my health back in check, and you know I work my tail off, and you know, just looking for the right one to settle down with.
Okay, all right. Didn't you have?
But I'm 55, so I'm like older than dirt. They don't want nothing to do with me. They want a young stud, you know.
Look at that.
So wasn't you that posted? All right, go ahead, Blair.
No, go ahead, Ted. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, Robert, didn't you post something about you went on a date, the woman stayed on her phone the whole time? Did you post that?
I don't think so, no.
No? Okay, that was all right.
Nope.
That was someone else.
No,
all
I'm
right,
like a loner, man. I can't get a date. And I'm a good-looking guy. I work hard, but, you know, I don't know. My health is coming back good, you know. I've been through a lot of bad times with loss and, you know. Yeah, like we all do.
Yep, happens to us all. So, Robert, I'm so glad you called in, man. It's great to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, same here.
Thank you for your time, Robert. Appreciate it.
We're going to put you on hold so you can hear the rest of the show, all right?
All right, sounds good. Hey, great talking to you, Ted.
Same here. Thank you, man.
Hey, have a good one, man.
All right, you too.
All right, so thanks for your job, Paul, Robert. Let's go to the number 10 because we're running out of time. And this kind of leads into what you were talking about, Correll. I don't know if you're still with us on the line. She has a bad relationship with her family. It says, as the relationship gets more serious, you're likely to meet her friends and her parents and family. Watch how she interacts with them. Her comfort level with her family will often lead to her putting down her guard and showing her true colors. Patterns or scripts that your partner uses in one set of relationships will most likely be introduced into your relationship. If she gets along great with her family, great. You'll likely experience the same in your relationship. However, if she's cold and distant with her family, tread carefully. You might experience the same kind of hostility later. Of course, there's cases where the apple truly does fall from the tree. If her family is nuts or abusive, her distance is understandable and likely a good thing. What are your thoughts, fellas?
Man, you know what? I've been lucky. You know, all of my past relationships, the women had good relationships with their family. You know, one of my relationships, it felt like a traditional dating thing. Like everything we did was with her and her sisters or her and her parents. You know, we went out, we did activities as a family. So I've never dated a woman where she had a bad relationship with a family. And I have had, you know, sexual relationships with women who had bad relationships with their mothers, and I would never take them serious, but the women that had bad relationships with their mothers, they cussed them out, I never took them serious, you know, but that's just been my experience.
Okay. All right, what are your thoughts, Ted?
I think for the most part, no, I've been in relationships with women who had great relationships with their family, their father, their mother, especially. But lately, in the past few years, I'm seeing more women who are having not such good relationships with their mothers, and these are generally women who were raised by a single mother. And some of the things that went on in the household, part of it you can kind of understand when a mother has some guy who's paying the bills and he takes liberties in the house. So that could actually be a red flag in itself, you know, a woman who's been molested by someone, whether it's a family member or outside of the family. It's
if guys don't understand, you really do hurt a woman's mindset and her ability to function in a relationship. You know, I know a lot of these guys who do that. Some of them have, someone has touched them, but it really just, it hurts society. It hurts a woman's ability to be in a relationship. So,
absolutely.
You know, while I have compassion, it's kind of hard to want to be in that situation, though.
Let's get to number 11 because we got five more to go and we're running short on time. So, number 11, she is not flexible. And for all the other nasty-minded people, I'm talking about flexible as far as her mental capacity, not, you know, I know people are like, what do you mean she ain't flexible? She's not flexible. So here's the point. Marriage and relationship experts have found that flexibility, the ability to go with the flow and adapt to changing circumstances, is an important attribute for relationship success. If your girlfriend is never willing to compromise or gets frazzled when plans change or things aren't exactly the way she wants them, that can mean problems down the line. I think one of the things that you can also find out about someone that you're dating is, and this is something I found myself, if you go on a trip with them, go on vacation together. If you can, get like away from, like, not even an hour or two. I'm talking about far away, like 10 hours, maybe even out the country if you can. That's when you really, and for people who travel with other folks, you can tell a lot, I mean a lot, about a person traveling with them. And I think the same is the case with when you're dating someone. You can just tell volumes about, are they, you know, if the person's not, you know, they just, if you want to go and say, hey, I want to go on this excursion, you know, we're in Phoenix, I want to go do this, or we're somewhere and I want to go camping, or I want to, you know, go on this whitewater rafter, and I want to go to this exhibit. And they're like, I don't want to do no exhibit. I mean, come on. You know, if she just gets bent out of shape about it, that's a bad sign, because you're going to end up doing that for pretty much the rest of your life, fellas. So, yeah, it doesn't mean that you go ahead and do everything that you want to do, but there has to be some compromise and some level of flexibility. What are your thoughts, fellas?
So I was saying, Carell, I think, Carell, you'll back me up on this. When you travel, especially outside the U.S. to a non-English-speaking country, you learn a lot about yourself. So for sure, if you do that with someone you're dating or married to, you're definitely going to learn about a lot about that person and how they're able to deal with things that are not normal and everyday to them.
Yeah, I agree with that. So my wife was born in England, Birmingham, England, to parents who were born in Birmingham, England, to grandparents who came over after World War II. You know, Great Britain went back to the colonist states to bring over, you know, essentially the black folks to rebuild England because they're raised by Hitler. And what I find, women that I've dated who have extensive problems are more open-minded. And that's why it's very important. You know, one of the questions I ask a lady, do you have a passport? Because it's always typical, people say, tell me about the world, but they've never been outside of Atlanta. You know,
right.
A different country. They haven't been exposed to different cultures. You just can't go back to your hood and be like, well, this is how they do it at Popeye's. When you're living in a different country or you're visiting multiple countries, you're going to eat it the way they put it on the plate because that's their culture. So what that does to me, it shows an openness in their paradigm of how they see the world. Now, with regards to being flexible and rigid, I believe a woman should be rigid in goal setting. But I think they should be flexible by the manner in which they achieve those goals. So if you want a man to be a certain way, all right, if you want a man to be a certain way, I understand that. But there's multiple avenues to get there to that type of man or prepare yourself for that type of man. But if you just rigid and inflexible, you're not like fluid, I mean, don't nobody want to deal with that. I've been in the military. I've been a base trainer. I don't want to deal with that. You know, because things happen.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff, gentlemen. All right, we're going to keep rolling because, like I said, we're running short on time. Number 12, you don't share any core values or life goals, and she's not really interested in trying to build with you. I think that's very key because, you know, I even talked about this, you know, Perel, you have my books. Ted, you have my books. One of the things that I talk about often is, you know, and this is something that that is very dear to my heart. We have to build, and we talk about this all the time, we have to build our own nation. What that means is we have to off of the dominant society of the total dependence on them. I think I saw a figure a while back that said in 1902, roughly, I think, 2% of blacks were business owners, where they were totally, you know, totally independent of any sort of establishment, you know, needing to get anything from the establishment. I think it was in 2016, it's still at 2%. So that's really telling of kind of how we as black people aren't really building with one another. And, you know, because as I say all the time, if you have a job and you make whatever, 50, 60, 70, 100, $200,000 a year, that's great. You're fine. But if your boss walks in and says, "Hey, we, you know, cuts, we got to let you go," you're in a world of trouble, especially if you have a family. And if you don't have anything, if you don't have anything set up, you have to go get another job for at another corporation. Why not take that energy and that time and those resources and look at your wife or look at your girlfriend and say, "Hey, let's start to build our own thing. Let's get our own thing happening." I mean, other cultures, other races understand that. It is about nation building with our own first. With our own first. So what are your thoughts on that, fellas?
Well, in one of our first talk shows, I talked about a guy who wrote a book. He's the author of a book called The Millionaire Mind, The Millionaire Next Door, and I think The Millionaire's Mind. And he spent quite a bit of time talking about how millionaires have a much lower divorce rate, and it's not because of money, it's because of the values they share. And that's where you started that conversation off. If you have none of those sort of values in common, it's probably going to be very difficult, because in his book he talked about how some guys were very aggressive, they took high risks, and some lost it all. And the women went nowhere because their stand and what they believed in, as that they knew that man was still the same guy. He was who he was, regardless of what he had, and together they would bring it back. So that's
right.
That's critical, man. That's important.
I remember your friend saying that. That was awesome. So yeah.
Yep.
So do you have any thoughts, Correll?
He's probably
I had to unmute it. Yeah, I think a house cannot stand if it's divided. And I think that if I am not sharing the same morals and values as the person that is my wife or person I'm dating, I think that we are going in opposite directions with life. And I think that, let's say, for example, whether we're married or not, we have a child. Then we bring in our legacy into an equation that will never be complete, because X will always out of equal. You see what I'm saying? Example, I dated a woman who was like, "Well, what if your kid don't want to go to college?" And my white friend was like, "Well, is that a choice?" You know? I mean, I know as a black man, a lack of education or a serious technical skill is a death sentence. It's a long, slow death sentence. So education is very important to me. I believe there are certain people allowed in my household. There are certain people not allowed in my household because of the spirit that they bring into the household, or, you know, the example that I'm trying to set for them.
Right.
The example that I've set in my household. So that's just some of the things that I feel when it comes down to being morally, ethically yoked. That is important because it starts with the mind and the heart and the spirit. If it ain't
right
there, you ain't going to get no.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, number 13. We're going to keep going because, like I said, we're running short on time here. Number 13. We got three more to go. Number 13, she is violent. This can be either verbal or physical. Let me read the thoughts here. Is she irrational or explosive? Is she kind towards others? Or is her behavior just justified by her friends and family? Is she one of those women who, when she gets upset, folks just give her a wide berth? Did you know that women are at least as likely, sometimes even more likely, than men to initiate domestic violence. Yeah, her punches may not hurt, but if your girlfriend or wife gets violent when you argue, that is a bright red flag that you should, and I guess this is probably, you know, this is a bright red flag that you should end the relationship. There's some underlying emotional issues there, and if she did it before, she'll likely do it again. Don't shrug it off. Slapping can escalate to the use of weapons. And I think what they were talking about there is, when we talk about domestic violence, I mean, if you say anything about domestic violence, we automatically just we just automatically default to men. We think men are the ones who are violent. And that is true. Men are violent. I say all the time, men are violent. They're savages. I say that all the time. I make no apologies for it. That's how men are. But, however, there are a large component of women out there who are just as equally violent as men. And I think women understand that, and they realize that they are some. They are given somewhat the kind of the understanding through the laws that, well, I'm just a woman, I can't possibly do anything to this man. A woman's temper can be violent physically and emotionally as well. So right. Be careful of that. The same, I'll use myself as an example. That same woman I was telling you about who stormed out of my book signing back in 2015. She was also she never laid hands on me. I think she was smart not to do that. But she was also very violent, one of them kind of person would slam doors, throw things out of anger. And that was really, well, it wasn't the first time, but that's a whole other story. It was the first time I'd actually dealt with that in a relationship setting. And I just kind of looked at it like, I don't believe this is happening to me right now. And yeah, it's kind of one of those things that's a little hard to deal with as men, because by proxy, you're told and taught not to put your hands on women, and that's, you know, of course, you know, you're looked at with kind of the scarlet letter if you do so. But, it's very critical that you peep it out early if you realize that that woman has violent tendencies. Like I said, violence can be, you know, what she does as far as throwing things, hitting on you, or it could also be verbal things that she says as well. So what are your thoughts, fellas?
In some cities, police will tell you that 40% of domestic violence calls are women physically abusing guys. And I know a lot of people will laugh that off and say it's impossible, but it's just ignored completely.
Right. I think the cover is kind of being pulled back on a lot of that stuff too. Yeah,
yeah,
I think people are kind of
ignored
to the fact that. Yeah, that women, you know, yeah, I mean, I tell people, I don't make any, you know, saying, I don't make any sort of things where I say that men are not violent. We're very violent. We are very violent. But to sit here and act like women are just angelic, that's wrong. So that's my point. So Let me get to the next two, because like I said, we got basically 10 minutes left. So she is stingy with the appreciation. I think what they mean by that is she doesn't show any sort of appreciation for the things that you do. I remember one of my good buddies, his name is Felipe. He was on the show a few weeks ago. He said something to the extent of, you can do eight things for a woman out of 10, and the woman will focus on the two things that you don't do. And he gave me an example. He said, so basically you can take a woman out to eat and pay for her dinner and pull her chair out and bring her flowers and all these other things. But then you get at the end of the date, you don't, you know, open the door for her to let her out, or maybe you drive off, and all of a sudden that's the one thing that she looks at you like, see, he's not really a good guy. Which, in a way, they feel that negates all the other stuff that you've done. And he ain't no good guy because he didn't do that. You have to show appreciation for men in all the things that they do. And if he doesn't do one of those things, that's okay. Make a mental note and say maybe he'll understand it one day and maybe not. If not, you're getting 8 of the 10 things that you want from that guy. So that's where I think women have to kind of understand that men want appreciation. They want to be validated for the things that they do. If there's something that you're wishing that he would do more of, say something. But don't sit there and, you know, discount him. him now because he didn't do one of the 10 things. So that's my thought.
Well, most people are knowledge starved. And something has happened in the culture of living in the United States. There was a time where women actually did acknowledge men a lot more. They've gotten very stingy, except they are very needy and wanting you to tell them how they look and how smart they are, but really stingy with acknowledgement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. All right, so we're pretty much almost on time. I got one more, and this one's going to be a doozy, so I'm gonna be ready for this one. Number 15, she's feminist first and not family first.
Mm-hmm.
What does that
wow.
mean? Yeah, simple. Is she about what's best for the family, or is she someone who thinks what she wants, and he has it in quotations, what she wants and how she feels, end quote, trumps the desire for the man and woman collectively? Fellas, ask her leading questions like, if we were to have sex and 6 weeks later you find out you're pregnant, what would be your initial response? If I as a man were, and this is him talking, if I as a man were vehemently opposed, would you still proceed with bringing the child to term knowing I didn't want a child? Those are things you got to ask. That's very important. I talk to women all the time, and I say that part of the reason why we are in the quandary that we're in as far as the black race and the black culture is because we have shifted our values to more of a matriarchal mindset of believing that, you know, a woman is, it's okay for a woman to have a child, and if the man is not there, so be it. I don't know any other race of out here that practices that. There are women who are Caucasian and Hispanic and Indian who have children outside of wedlock. We're not here to say that. But by and large, that is not the dominant way that they do things. And so when I tell women, we have to set aside this whole, this feminist mindset that, you know, if you want a child, you should have a child and no questions asked, you know, that doesn't sit well with them. So for the fellas listening, whether it be young, old, be mindful of that. Be very, very careful of dealing with someone who is feminist first and not family first. Your thoughts, man.
So, Blair, I'd like to take that a step further. So a red flag, and this is probably going to even bother some men out here. For sure it will bother a lot of women, but I'll lay out what I'm saying. A single mother is a red flag, and she's a red flag because she chose the wrong guy, and then she made a decision in choosing the wrong guy. Then she made a second decision, which was to get pregnant by the wrong guy. And in today's age, with all the sort of birth control and that can be used, that can be avoided, except it wasn't. So she's telling you something about her decision-making process. Now, she may say, well, he was a good guy in the beginning, and then he turned out to be bad. But it's what you all have said in the beginning. The vetting process, you really didn't ask the right question. On the flip side, you may have chosen the right guy, except you made the wrong decisions about how you dealt with the right guy. And sort of what you're saying now, Blair, you chose feminism over your relationship, and you end up being a single mother. Now, being a single mother, we applaud that, except we completely discount the impact on the child. The impact on a boy growing up without a father is very severe. And for the woman who said, I don't need a man, I can do this on my own, I can be the mother and the father, you really had no regard for that child's need. And so you're actually saying something about how selfish you are. And
right.
I see that as a red flag. Now, and so to take that red flag, being a single mother, if she has multiple children by multiple men, that's just an even bigger red flag. And all are talking about the black community. In the black community, 22% of black men have multiple children with multiple women. And that needs to be handled.
I know,
guys,
I
you can make
exactly
better decisions.
I know exactly where you're going.
50,
go ahead, brother. Keep going.
59% of black American women have multiple children with multiple men. And that
right.
means you're recycling that same 22%.
that is such a huge red flag, because it's saying something about your decision-making process. And these are not just women who are on welfare. These are educated women who have multiple children with multiple men. So that,
right.
it's that problem is not a man problem. And some of you ladies may say, well, I need to see those statistics, but it's most guys are not living that life. It's not even 25% of men, and it's almost three times as many women doing that. So for all the young ladies out here listening, if you think you can just have a child and raise it by yourself and expect the best guy, the cream of the crop, to choose you, most likely he will not want to inherit someone else's child, that, and he just walked away, or he's in jail, or whatever happened. So I suggest, if you're a woman, think about it. And if you're a young man, think about inheriting that. And all the ladies who say, I'm a package deal, yes, you have a right to say that. And a man has the right to say, I don't want to be financially and emotionally responsible for your package, for your poor decisions that you've made in the past. And I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running short on time. So, yeah. I mean, everything you said and everything else, first of all, I want to thank all the callers. There was a few other calls that we weren't able to get to that were holding on the line, and I knew that we were going to kind of go up to the wire, so I apologize that I was not able to get everyone this week. So I try my best to kind of fit everybody in, but just, you know, keep calling back to the show, and I appreciate it. I love you all. But, yeah, I mean, to the points, I mean, those are the 15 points that I've kind of picked out of about 40 overall tips that I've gotten from different men. You know, yeah, I mean, to your point, Ted, yeah, there's, I mean, the whole idea of us having a matriarchal society and it being something that's actually going to be a success, we've had two generations of this now, ladies, and it's not working. It is not working at all. 78% of our sisters who actually bring children into the world, bring our children into the world in a poverty situation. You can go to Google, CDC, Pew Research, and see the numbers. So it's not anything that – this is not Blair speaking. This is what the numbers say. 78% of our women who bring children into this world, into this country, bring them in to a level of poverty. You cannot.
You mean single? Are you saying single mothers?
Single women.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Single mothers bring them into a world of poverty. So the idea that, you know, love is all we need. No, that ain't fair to that kid. That is not fair to that kid. So this is one of the reasons why we have this show, because we somehow have to, you know, we have to kick the hornet's nest over. And, you know, I know women are going to be mad. I get the inboxes all the time, and I get, you know, people who, you know, tell me, like, you know, Blair, you're tough on the women and everything. Well, yeah, we have to be, because we are in a crisis situation. The thing that we can keep doing things the same way is not going to happen. So we got 90 seconds
right.
to go, Ted. What are your thoughts real quick in closing before we
hey.
Close the show?
Great show. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to all the listeners. We've said it before. We are growing, so yeah, just thank you. And if you have any ideas on topics you'd like to hear, inbox myself or Blair. But thank you very much.
Thank you all for calling in. I hope you learned something from the show for this evening. Again, the title of the show is What Are the Red Flags Men Should Be Aware of When Dating? I hope you all learned something. If you have some, if you disagree, or if you don't think that's, you know, somebody's saying you're fair or correct, feel free to, you know, call into the show, and or if you have any questions, inbox me or whatever. Until next time, until next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we love you all. Have a great week, and God bless.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye.